Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Fantastic as well. Hey, we're just going to read the Word of God and then we'll take a seat. So I want to read with you Matthew 16, 13 to 19. And this is what it says. Jesus asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Which is interesting, because he just told you he's the Son of Man. 14 says, "So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the right answer. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Can you say out loud, "I have the keys"? You do have the keys. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen. I've called the message today "Our Rock", because Jesus is our rock. He's the author, the finisher of our faith. He's the answer to every question you have about life. And he gives us the script in the Word of God of how to live a successful, blessed life, because he is our rock. You believe that? Awesome. Why don't you take your seat? Look at your neighbor. Think to yourself, they are amazing. I said to think it. They are amazing. You couldn't contain it. You had to say it. You know, one thing that I've noticed throughout history is that it's obvious that we can't leave Jesus alone. You know, through history, we've had world wars. We've had people just say that he's not true. We've had religious people on the fence and on both sides of the coin. We've had church splits going on throughout history. You know, we see the stories in the Bible, and many people, even though there's more historical evidence of the truth of the Bible, people have still questioned it. So many people have given their hearts to God as they've tried to reveal that it's not true. They've discovered that it is the truth. And, you know, we see this throughout history, and it's obvious that people haven't been able to avoid Jesus. Here we are 2,000 years after his life, and guess what we're all celebrating this week? The birth of Jesus. And whether people like it or not, they're singing about Jesus in the shopping centers. You know, whether the community believes in Jesus or not, some way, in one way or another, they're going to acknowledge him. You know, in Hebrew, a way of thinking, they think even when you talk negative about Jesus, you're still giving him glory. The mere fact that you're using his name brings glory. And so the enemy, just in this sort of time of season of life, must be shuddering. He must be pretty nervous right now as the whole planet uses the name and acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God. That's pretty, I think of the angels in heaven. You know, the Bible says in Revelations, they go around the throne room, see, singing, "Worthy and holy is the Lamb." The whole planet right now is going to be singing about Jesus on Christmas Day. To me, that would make me nervous if I was the devil. But I'm not. I'm a son of God. John Lennon said he couldn't think of anyone bigger when he said the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. Even he had to compare them to Jesus. The president, George W. Bush, cited Jesus as his favorite philosopher. Philosopher, who's a German philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, boasted Jesus died too early. He himself would have revoked his doctrine if he had reached my age. Well, he's 2,000 years old and he still hasn't revoked his own doctrine. Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte apparently said Alexandra, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires. But on what foundation did we rest the creation of our genius upon force. But Jesus Christ founded the empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Well, I think at this hour, many of Christians would die for him. I think I'm looking at hundreds here today that would die for him. Amen. Everyone has a view, don't they? Everyone has a view. I'm pretty sure you got friends with a view. I'm pretty sure maybe your views changed over your lifetime. Maybe you didn't believe in him. Now you do. Now you're walking in the joy of what it is to be a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. We all have a view. Everyone's got a view. Same in Jesus' day. Some thought that he was John the Baptist. Others thought he might be Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. You know, do you notice that when you read that scripture, that Simon didn't say to Jesus, yeah, some people think that you're Jesus. He didn't say, some people think you might be the Son of God. That wasn't even in the script. Like, no one seemed to acknowledge that Jesus was who he was. Sometimes it feels like that in our world today too, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like, does anyone feel alone sometimes? Can we be honest in the church this morning? Yep, there's a few hands. My hand's up. Sometimes I'm like, God, where are the believers? I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the world in general. God, where are the righteous people that will stand on the hill and shout out the name of Jesus? Because I know a few thousand of them, but there's millions and billions of people on this earth. You know, and we need righteous people to stand up. And so today we have a slightly different issue. As back then, they were literally looking at Jesus and they had to ask themselves the question of, who is he? Today, our issue is people are no longer looking at the man Jesus in the flesh asking who he is. People are looking at his teachings, they are looking at his followers, and they're asking, who is he? Jesus does not exist on planet Earth right now in human flesh, unlike in the Gospels. So they're looking at us and the church wondering, who is he? It's no longer answering, who is Jesus? But it's answering, do we agree with a Christian lifestyle? That's the question the world is asking today. They're not asking, who is Jesus? But do we agree with the church? Do we like the church? Do we agree with what the Bible teaches? But when you identify Jesus as the Son of God, a biblical lifestyle becomes our next step. See, for us, it's about seeing who Jesus is. It's not about agreeing with how other people live. It's not about opinion. It's not about, do I like what the Bible says? It's not about, well, I agree with the New Testament, but the Old Testament, I can't get my head around. It's not opinion-based, it's not preference-based, it's do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And when you answer that question, this is the Word of God. So then this is no longer in question, but this becomes the rock on which we stand. This is then our solid foundation. How to raise our kids, how to live our lives. Should I send my kids to a Christian school or a secular school? I know financially it's hard. We're on a pastor's wage. We had to ask that question, but we chose to give up our house and send our kids to a Christian school. Just saying. It's on the rock, godly teachings, how to raise our family, how to speak to your wife, how to treat your neighbor, how to love unconditionally. It's all in the rock, the Word of God. Amen. So when you identify and answer the question, who is Jesus, the Son of God? Living a Christian lifestyle becomes our next step for us. When Jesus asked Simon, who does everyone say that I am? They had the same answer much of the world has today, which is, he's anyone but the one that means that I can't create my own truth. He's the one, he's anybody. We can call God or Jesus, prophet, might be Jeremiah, he's an important person. He's a historical person, or I don't believe he was even in history. You can title that however you want, long as we can hold our own truths of life. Our own truths of life. That's the answer of the world. So
How do we answer the question, who is Jesus? Well, verse 17 said, Jesus answered and said to them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The answer, to answer the question, who is Jesus, we must be willing to ask a question. This is a big question. It's a big question. God, if you were real, will you reveal who Jesus is to me? God, if you are real, when we ran Work for the Dole here, when that was my job, I had ended up in conversation with many, many, many people over that 12 months. And, oh, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. You know, we went through all the opinions and all the rest. And I used to just stop him in the end, you know, after like a week's conversation. I used to stop and just say, have you ever asked God? And I used to say, I don't need to defend him. He's a pretty big boy. He's really powerful and he can defend himself. The greatest thing you'll ever actually do is ask the question. Because if you don't ask the question, you don't get give him an opportunity to respond. And so then what we do is we formulate opinions by either our own experiences in life or by other people's opinions, friends, family, work colleagues. And we'll formulate what we class as a truth about who Jesus is based on non-truths, based on foundations that aren't solid. But I think it's good just to give God the opportunity to answer the question. And so what I would encourage everyone here to do is to ask God that question. Now, maybe you have. Maybe you've asked God and he has shown himself in one way or another. If that has happened to you, this is my challenge to you today. That moment, right in that moment where you just acknowledge Jesus, maybe you lifted your hand in a church service one day, or maybe you just made that inner decision, or you prayed and you just felt like God was there. Can I say, if that moment has ever happened for you, don't ever allow your foundations to be shaken again. The enemy will come in every single day. He does this to me. Comes in every single day and try to shake the foundations of who Jesus is. But I believe that if you have ever had just a mustard seed of faith gives you the authority to tell the enemy to go away. Just a mustard seed of faith is all you need. And if you've ever acknowledged God as real, Jesus as Lord, as the Son of God, you have a mustard seed of faith here today. And that mustard seed is so powerful that you have the authority to tell him where to go. It's so powerful that you have the authority to tell doubt where to go. It's so powerful that you have the authority to tell insecurity where to go. It's so powerful that you have the authority to tell sickness where to go. Because that doesn't come from heaven. That doesn't come from heaven. God made us whole. And his desire is that all of humanity would be restored. And that's why he sent his son. And the scripture said that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Amen. You are healed. That's not church doctrine. That's the word of God. That by the stripes, so we have the authority. If you've ever had that mustard seed of faith, could I encourage you to stand on it every day because it's the rock of your salvation. And if you never have, that's okay. Today's your opportunity to ask God. Just ask the question and let God answer. He'll do it in his own time. He'll do it in his own way. I think this. If you ask the question, this is pretty bold. If you ask the question and God doesn't answer, that's because he's not coming back yet. You've got time. You've got time. Because he's the author of time. And so if you're like, I've asked God and he's never shown himself to me, once you exercise faith, and faith is, well, he will answer me. Because I promise you, he's a big God. He will look after himself and he will give you the answer. The Bible says if you're asking for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you ask him for an answer, he's not going to deceive you. He's not going to leave you hanging. If you've asked, he'll answer. And have eyes to see. The Bible says, have eyes to see, and you'll see the answer. Anyway, none of my notes. At some point in time, everyone has to exercise faith, don't we? At some point in time, you have to exercise faith. And faith is interesting. It's amoral. At some point of time in your marriage, you have to trust your spouse. That's faith. Especially if you enter marriage with lots of hurt, or maybe you've been divorced and it didn't go well for you and you're remarried. At some point, you have to place faith in that person. At some point, you trust your kids, don't you? Normally when they get their license and they hop in the car for the first time on their own, there's a bit of faith in your child. At some point in everything in life, humanity has to place faith in something. Place your faith in Jesus today. Place your faith. He's the one answer that you need for your whole life. He's that one answer that you need for your future, for hope, for peace, for joy. He gives it all. You can have the best Christmas this year. If you don't know Jesus, this year could be a defining Christmas. 2020, an easy date to remember when Jesus changed your life. How good is that? Your Christmas conversations could be so different this year. Instead of bitterness because of those family members you haven't seen since last Christmas, instead of all that tension, it could be the year where everyone's looking at you and going, why is there a smile on your dial? And you might not have anything to say because you're still working through stuff, but they will see that you have changed because the joy of the Lord has become your strength. Amen? Believe that today, church. The answer isn't revealed by flesh and blood. That's my point. Is you can look to history, you can look to friends and peers, and even your own opinion. Dare I say it. But flesh and blood doesn't reveal the answer of who Jesus is. What we can see, what we think to be right, what everyone else answers or thinks, you must step out in faith and ask the question. Like Simon, you will just know. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, God said this. He said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Here's the amazing thing about that verse, right? You don't know unless God reveals it. So who is he? Well, you have no idea until God reveals it. Flesh and blood don't show us who God really is. The Spirit of God does. That's his job. Amen? So if you're ever asking the question, you know, who is God? What's life about? What's this journey about? Ask God the question. Don't ask your neighbor or yourself. Because we don't know without the Spirit of God. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said this one. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. God will tell you. First John 5:14, the Apostle John said this. He said, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, trust me, you asking God if he's real, that's his will. He hears us. He hears us. And the God I know will answer you. He doesn't just hear and keep a secret to himself. He is busting. That's why he sent his son. He is busting to give us the answer. He sent his son, put him on a cross, raised him up from the dead, just saying, hi. I have the answer for you. It's the light in the life of Jesus, my son. He wants to give you the answer if you just ask the question. I did this myself. I know my voice is going. Chardon was song leading this morning. When you're not a singer and you can't stop but sing, just wreck your voice. I heard someone say once, why is it at the footy that they can shout all loud and go nuts for the footy?
So I thought I'd bring it into the church. You go to 40, you lose your voice, no one cares. Why do you care in the church? You know, when I was young, when I was about 12 years old, I was at an amazing church prayer meeting full of seniors. Nothing wrong with seniors. You guys are amazing at City Point North. But I've got to be honest, the prayer was really boring. It's not what we get from the seniors at City Point North. And it was really boring. And we were just in a circle. And I'm not sure what we were praying for. I was just praying to God, would you save me from this? Can he come back? And anyway, we're there and we're in a circle. There's hundreds and hundreds of prayers. I love that. People that pray. This is a house of prayer. City Point North, we're prayers here. And we're there in this circle and they're all praying for stuff. And I'm just going, God, like, I just can't do this. And I was 12. Seniors prayer meeting because none of the youth or young adults came. And I said, God, I just can't do this for my whole life. I said, I've grown up a Christian and I believe in you because mum and dad told me that I should. But I just need to know. I just need to know. If you're real, would you just show me? And if you are, it doesn't have to be. I'm not even going to test you really in a bad way. I'm just going to like, just show me just enough for me to be convinced and you'll never have to do it again. I'll give you my life. I'll give you my future family. I'll give you everything and I'll never question you again. Just show me that you're real. And my eyes were closed. I opened my eyes and the whole room was spinning. I was just dizzy as. I wasn't dizzy like 10 seconds earlier and I was just dizzy as. And I knew it was God. I just knew it was God. And it was powerful. It was real. I want you to understand this. It wasn't a spiritual experience, like an out-of-body experience. I was feeling it in the flesh. It was real. And I knew in that moment, God, you are real. God didn't speak to me audibly. I didn't hear words. Because you got to understand, Where I think we struggle a little bit with this is we're flesh people in a flesh body, right? And so we struggle to understand the spiritual things. But the truth is we're spiritual people in a flesh body. That's the truth. How do we know that? Well, you were made and you were formed in your mother's womb. How does that happen? There's a God that fearfully and wonderfully made you. Let me tell you, he didn't just click and you just came in your mother's womb. He designed you. He put seeds inside of you. That's why it's through a seed that you were born. Because seed is what grows. And inside of everyone of us listening to this on Podbean or here today, you need to know that there are seeds of life inside. And those seeds want to flourish and grow into amazing, beautiful, powerful trees. And so God made you like this. That's a spiritual process. And so therefore, we are spiritual beings in a physical body. But because of sin, the spirit realm has a veil over it. And God showed us this in the Old Testament when he actually ripped the veil when Jesus was on the cross and the life went out of him. The Bible says that there was darkness shadowed over the whole world and the veil in the temple. That's a sign that a day will come where Jesus Christ comes back again and the veil of the natural and the spiritual will be ripped. And you and I will see the spiritual realm as much as we see the physical realm right now. That's the truth. And so for us to understand that in these moments like I had in that boring church prayer meeting, it ended up the most fantastic prayer meeting I've ever been to because God revealed himself when I asked the question. And I sat down in my spinning and I just felt somehow spiritually God say to me, Graham, I'm not even lifting my finger.
And I remember my response was, wow, this is insane. I would hate you to lift your finger. That's what I said. I actually said that. I said, God, I don't want to know your real power. I don't want to know. If you have the power to formulate universes and stars, make sure they spin perfectly, the suns and the, if that's your power, and then the Bible says you dance amongst it in the Hebrew world, it's the Hebrew mindset is he just lifts the hem of his cloak and goes, woo, there's a universe down there. And the Bible says he holds the earth in his hand. If that's your power, hold it to yourself. Just give me the little, I'll have that. And then as sons and daughters of God, through Jesus Christ, we're about to learn that we have access to that power. Not that we would wield it, not that we would control it, but Jesus does. We have the access and the keys to unlock it. There is power in answering the question, God, who are you? Jesus is our rock, church. Jesus is our rock. To have Jesus as your rock is to have faith in him, his word, and the scriptures as the script of your life. Faith in him when finances are tight, let's remain faithful. Faith in him when you lose a loved one. Faith in him when you feel like you're failing at life. Faith in him when you are facing a medical diagnosis. Faith in him when you don't understand what life is about. And faith in him when you have everything and you love your life and it's absolutely brilliant like I do. The enemy is just as powerful in that moment as he is when you're got a medical diagnosis because he tries to make you think it's all of yourself. But I have to remind myself because I love my life. Doesn't mean I don't have hardships, but I've just learned to have joy in every season. And I love my life. And I say to God, my faith is in you because it's because of you I have this amazing life. Amazing church, amazing people around me. When I'm sick, hundreds of people pray for me to get well. So same with you. When you're sick, you need to know, brothers and sisters in this church, there's hundreds of us praying for you. That should make us love life, amen? When you're suffering, when you're going through things, you don't even know it. Mel and I are at home praying for you. We care for you, we love you, and so does Jesus. The angels are praying for you and believing for you and trying to stir faith up in you. Keep your faith in Jesus. Verse 19 said this, and I'm going to end talking about this morning. Verse 19 said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let me say that again, and I want you to receive this today. Jesus said these words. He said, Graham, Melanie, Tobin, Justin, I give you the keys. Mary, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is the power in answering the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is God to you? Because when you answer that question, you receive the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Faith is the key to heavenly things. Faith is the key. With this faith, Jesus' word becomes our rock for truth and guidance. With this faith, you receive the keys to unlock doors through prayer. One of the greatest things I've ever heard, I think it was just from a podcast. I don't even know the preacher. Might have been Joyce Meyer. And they said that in prayer, ask God for the keys to unlock people. I do that for you. I say, God, as I'm praying for you, I'm calling you by name. God, City Point North, give us the keys. God, I'm believing for a new building for City Point North. Before I get the natural key, I need the spiritual key. God, my faith is, would today, would you give me the spiritual key? And he teaches me how to pray. God said to me in that moment, Graham, stop looking for a building and claim a building. And my prayer changed. Every day on the way to school, dropping the kids off, I saw a building. And I said, God, I really like that one. It's not for sale. The business that was in there was only in there for 5 years. He spent over $200,000 doing up the building. He wasn't going to sell. It was flourishing. Coffee man out the front every morning. And I said, God, I've got the key now. I don't wish for this building. That's the building I claim it. That's the key. God wanted me to claim the building. And so I went home to Mel, and as a family, the kids even, not just me, you were praying all the time for us. I know there's intercessors in this church. God gave your pastor a key. And he said, claim it. Don't look for it. So we claimed. And guess what we have today? We got a natural key that matches the spiritual key. Come on. When you're praying for your son and your daughter and your loved one, your spouse, when you're praying for your work colleague, when you're praying for that sickness to get healed, when you're praying for the addiction to get broken, when you're praying for joy to enter back into your life, when you're praying for hope to stir back up in you because you've been struggling with hope, say, God, can you give me the key to unlock this spiritually so I can see the door open naturally? God, would you give me the key? And he will give you a key. Your prayer will change. Your confession will change. Your faith will change. Your strength will change. Your persona will change because God will give you the key and you'll see a door open. That's why he says, knock and the door will be opened. Because when we knock, we're crying out and it gives you the key. And other people can't walk through the doors you walk through because they don't have the key to access that door. You believe that today, church? That's the power of answering this question, who is God? God gives you the keys to the things in the heavenly realm. In prayer and in the scriptures are the keys to live as an overcomer. Are the keys to live with joy, with peace, with strength, with the pure love of God that's unconditional, knowing you are accepted on even your weakest day. You will have the key and the access to that, and knowing that God is always with you. We all go through the valley of the shadow of death, but he is with you, preparing a table for you to have a rest in that moment. God will bring you peace beyond understanding. Even when you're in the shadow of the valley of, even when your whole world is upside down, you will find rest. Why? Because God has a key for you to open that door of peace. I love it. Are you excited? Hebrews 11:1. This is my last scripture. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. And listen, it's your assurance about what we do not see. We as a church aren't looking for the things we can see in the natural, but we are looking for the things and towards the things that we see in the spiritual. Never look at your life in the natural, but say, God, give me spiritual eyes because I know it's wonderful in the spirit realm. And then when you believe that, I promise you this, you will see the spiritual become natural in your world. Do you receive that today? Let me pray over you right now. Father God, I thank you that through faith, every believer has access to the things of heaven. Father, I thank you that this access is so powerful because, Father, it doesn't just allow us to go in. It allows the power of God to come out into our world. By faith, we can move a mountain. Because, Father, you give us the key to unlock those doors, to move that mountain. Father, I thank you for every believer in this place, Lord God, that as we just go from today forward into Christmas and our new year, Lord God, that, Father, we will just be stirred to always just go, God, I see that in the natural, but show me what it is in the spiritual. Because today is a day, Father, where we're going to unlock some doors in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.